From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. I'm Abby Larico, and it's Friday, the 13th of February. Today, a story about a particularly unlucky set of circumstances, a mysterious illness that makes someone suddenly allergic to their own livelihood. Like, imagine if one day I woke up allergic to doing the news on the radio. Well, that's reality for livestock producers who come down with alpha-gal syndrome, making it difficult, even dangerous, to work with animals.
I was having all these nuclear bombs going off in my body, thinking I need to make sure my will's lined out.
That story's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Senator Josh Hawley wants data centers to build their own power plants. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on the Missouri Republicans' proposed legislation.
The senator introduced bipartisan legislation that he says would force data centers to foot the bill for their own massive electric needs. The Guaranteeing Rate Insulation from Data Centers Act would also require data center operators to publicly disclose their current and future utility use. Hawley says there needs to be more transparency.
I don't know how local residents can know how it's going to affect them if they don't know exactly what the drawdown on power is going to be.
Hawley says these AI companies are worth trillions of dollars and can afford their own electricity. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Ameren, Missouri signed binding contracts for electric service with multiple large data centers this week. On the company's quarterly earnings call Thursday, CEO Marty Lyons called these electric service agreements exciting, but added that there are more steps ahead.
Things like, you know, actual customer announcements, project announcements, groundbreakings, the construction of those data centers.
Lyons and Ameren would not say which companies the deals are with. Ameren has now received $46 million in non-refundable payments from data center developers. Also this week, Ameren got approval from Missouri regulators to build a new natural gas and battery storage plant in Jefferson County. Public commenters packed a hearing this week over newly proposed zoning rules for data centers in the city of St. Louis. As STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, planning commissioners heard mostly negative feedback.
The message from the vast majority of commenters at the Planning Commission meeting was clear: no data center development in the city. During the more than four-hour meeting, dozens of people called for the commission to propose an outright ban on the developments. The newly proposed rules restrict where data centers can be built in the city and put forth a strict application process. Ward 7 resident Carrie McCulkin criticized Mayor Kara Spencer's comments made last year about keeping St. Louis, quote, open for business to possible data centers.
What sort of message does regulating, normalizing, and allowing a dumpster fire, which is what I'm now calling AI data centers, send to city residents?
A handful of speakers spoke in support of the rules, many of whom were data center developers or part of the proposed data center project at the Armory. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Legislation making it easier legally for pregnant women to get divorced made it through the Missouri House, with lawmakers voting unanimously to pass the bill yesterday. Pregnant women in Missouri can seek a divorce under current law, but a judge can prevent it from being finalized. The bill the House passed removes that barrier. Bill sponsor Cecily Williams listed several examples as to why this bill is necessary. The Jefferson County Republican included situations where the marriage just doesn't work out, but due to pregnancy, cannot be dissolved.
So two adults who agree their marriage is over are forced to remain legally bound, not for love, not for healing, not for the child, but because pregnancy has been turned into a barrier instead of a reality.
The bill now goes to the Senate, where similar legislation has already had a hearing. Also in the State House yesterday, Missouri moved one step closer to an indefinite ban on gender-affirming health care for transgender children. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports the House approved legislation that would remove the 2027 sunset on the state's current moratorium.
Representatives voted 102-40 to approve the bill that would keep minors from using treatments such as hormone therapy or puberty blockers. Democratic Representative Wick Thomas is transgender and non-binary. During debate, Thomas spoke directly to the state's transgender people.
I was one of you, and I never had any concerns. I never had any shame around who I was. What affected my mental health was the rhetoric coming out of rooms like this.
Republicans in favor of the legislation say children should wait until 18 in case they regret the gender-affirming care. It will now be sent to the Senate for consideration. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
CareSTL Health, a local federally qualified health center, abruptly closed this week. Angela Claiborne is the center's president and CEO. In a Facebook post yesterday, she blamed the closure on delays in federal funding, ongoing financial challenges, and the devastation the May 2025 tornado had on its buildings. She says these events have also temporarily impacted some of its employees' payroll. In her statement, Claiborne says she understands employees have bills to pay, and she apologized for not issuing paychecks. Claiborne didn't say when the health center would reopen. However, her post said the center is working with federal partners and financial institutions to resolve the delay in funding and resume normal operations. Demetria McDial's family said their final goodbyes during a funeral in Jennings yesterday after she died in custody at the St. Louis City Justice Center last month. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley attended the service.
Dozens of people sit in pews across the room as Michelle Watson sings a 1996 gospel song by Donnie McClurkin. McDial's younger sister, Marilyn Jones, steps up to a podium with tears in her eyes. She says she'll do her best to help care for McDial's six children.
You're not no mug dude until I can't love them no more.
But she says living without McDial won't be easy.
I love my sister, and I'm going to try to say strong words.
McDial is the first person to die at the jail this year and the 22nd since 2020. Her family believes jail staff ignored her complaints about chest pains. Police say an investigation is ongoing. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Tensions escalated this week in Cahokia Heights, where many public school employees have been without a union contract since this summer. Now, the teachers' union is making serious allegations about district management. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the union is accusing the Metro East District of financial failures, and they want prosecutors to investigate if the activity is illegal.
The union says it obtained financial records that show the assistant superintendent made $406,000 more than his contracted salary in the 2024 fiscal year. The union also says a human resources officer approved at least 2 months of Medicare supplement payments for her mother, who worked at the district before she died. Ray Roskus with the teachers union said he'd like county, state, and federal prosecutors to investigate.
The public deserves to know where their taxpayer funds are going. The students and the community of Cahokia deserve better than what they're receiving from this administration.
Superintendent Curtis McCall Jr. says these allegations have no merit and that, quote, nothing illegal has transpired in the district. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis live music fans should adjust their summer plans as a big music festival announced this morning. It's moving from September to July. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, Maddie, formerly known as Music at the Intersection, will take place from July 17th through 19th.
The festival will still be held in Grand Center with shows at the Sovereign, Sophie's Artist Lounge, The Big Top, Jazz St. Louis, and now the Fabulous Fox Theater. Festival goers will need tickets for the indoor shows, while the Washington Avenue Block Party will be free and outdoors. Chris Hansen is executive director of the Kranzberg Arts Foundation, which organizes Maddie. He says audiences are calling for more indoor venues.
They want comfort, and they want to know that they're going to be taken care of. And sometimes watching Patti LaBelle in the middle of a street or in the middle of a field isn't the same as watching Patti LaBelle at the Fox Theater.
Hansen said the full festival lineup will be announced in March. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
There's an emerging allergy to red meat that you may have heard of. You definitely have if you're a regular listener of this podcast. It's called alpha-gal. The syndrome, which is spread by tick bites, affects nearly 500,000 Americans, according to federal data. For farmers who are in close contact with livestock every day, the allergy can be especially challenging. Harvest Public Media contributor Rebecca Smith reports on how alpha-gal syndrome is disrupting their lives and livelihoods.
It's a bright, crisp morning on the Lovelake Iris farm outside Macon in northern Missouri.
Owner Sharon Pennington is standing in the barn where she's raised countless orphan calves and nurse cows over the years. But now, for the first time, the barn sits empty.
One cow calved and she had too much milk, so I was milking her and around all that fluid and just wondering, why in the world am I going to pass out or die? I don't know what's going on with me.
Pennington was repeatedly experiencing anaphylaxis, a severe full-body allergic reaction. And after many months of fear and confusion, she was diagnosed in the summer of 2025 with alpha-gal, an allergy to mammalian products such as red meat and dairy that comes from the bite of a Lone Star tick. But for her, these anaphylactic reactions weren't just from eating mammalian-based foods. It was also from handling her cattle, coming into contact with their bodily fluids, and even being exposed to airborne allergens.
I was having all these nuclear bombs going off in my body, thinking I need to make sure my will's lined out.
Now, doctors aren't sure if this hyperreactivity is true alpha-gal. Dr. Maya Jareth is an immunologist in St. Louis who's been treating the condition for nearly 20 years. She says it's possible that the alpha-gal allergy for folks like Pennington kickstarts the immune system into overdrive, leading to unpredictable and near-constant allergic reactions.
I don't think we should attribute all of that to alpha-gal, because when we do that, we run the risk of not treating what's really wrong with them.
Jareth says she hopes people, and especially cattle farmers, reach out to allergists if they're experiencing these severe symptoms, because there's likely something they can do to help.
We can turn down that reactivity and help to manage it. So there are people who have that without alpha-gal. And then I clearly have people who are in that overlap bucket where they have alpha-gal and they also have this excessive reactivity.
Ashley McCarty is the executive director of Missouri Farmers Care, a coalition of statewide agriculture groups in Missouri. She's also the co-owner of the McCarty Cattle Company in North Missouri and has had alpha-gal herself since the mid-90s. She says she can't attend a meeting anywhere in the state without hearing from farmers about their alpha-gal diagnoses and the burden of the allergy.
It's far more than just a paycheck. There's a lot there to unpack when something suddenly pops up and changes the way that you interact with all of that.
McCarty says people are finding ways to adapt. Some are retiring early, and others, like herself, are moving into more hands-off roles with the cattle, such as bookkeeping. But she worries about others getting desperate and turning to alternative treatments that have yet to be studied and whose effectiveness and safety are relatively unknown. Back in Macon, Sharon Pennington made the decision to pursue alternative treatment. Currently, she's able to eat red meat and isn't having anaphylactic reactions. But she says she doesn't know how long the results might last, especially because it's impossible to fully avoid tick bites working and living on a farm.
I'm not going to live my life in fear because of this disease. It didn't kill me. It came close. But it's also made me look at every day of my life as a gift.
So Pennington still uses mammal-free products and has lots of chickens stored in the freezer in case her alpha-gal and all of the complications that come with it returns. In Macon, I'm Rebecca Smith.
That story was produced for Harvest Public Media, which is a collaboration of public media newsrooms across the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend.